It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I am here in the studio basking in the aura of Mark Tobin, the greatest fisherman to ever walk on water.
What am I going to do with you, Fred?
Or you don't think you're a good fisherman?
Well, I know you're not basking in any kind of aura either.
The long flowing robes, the majestic stature, the staff actually that you use as a rod, you know. You got the Ten Commandments of fishing under his arm.
Yeah, right. And people think I look like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do. 6'5", buffed. You know,
it's so disappointing when they see what I really am.
Blonde hair, flowing locks, blue eyes.
I've got very patriotic eyes. They're red, white, and blue.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, I know where the red's coming from. What have you been doing? I haven't talked to you much this week.
Just busy.
I kind of had a bad week, Mark. I was telling you about it.
I know. Yeah, mine's much more boring. I just worked all week.
Worked all week
and talked to people that been able to go fishing, but not me.
What do you hate grass this time of year?
I hate grass. I hate moles.
Is moles? I hate grubs. Moles have showed up. I mean, it's isn't that weird?
I know. Yeah, just didn't seem like they were all that active early on.
Yeah,
but boy, they're making up for it now.
They came back with a vengeance, didn't they?
Yeah. Have you ever felt the fur on a mole?
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're super soft. I love to dig them up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. There is a trap it's a kind of a scissor trap.
Yeah, I use it.
They're awesome.
My wife says that she catches them. I said I never catch one.
Yeah. I prefer to dig them out with a shovel, but you got to be pretty stealthy because you'll see. Yeah. You can figure out which are the fresh runs or which are not because the grass hadn't turned brown on the fresh runs yet. And then just go out and listen. And for me, they're active more in the middle of the day. Usually when I get home from the radio station, I'll go out and listen. And
hunt
you'll hear
moles.
You'll hear the grass ripping. And then you can kind of zero in on where they're at. But you gotta step up on them softly.
Yeah.
Because they will spook. They spook real easily. And then I just determine which direction they're going. And then I take a shovel and pop them up out of the ground. It's amazing how fast they can get back down into the ground.
Yeah,
if you don't kill them accidentally, you know, when you pop them out of the ground.
Do you feel bad about killing them?
Never.
Never?
No.
You really don't? Have you ever had a fillet off one?
No, but, they would make the most incredible pair of gloves. I do hear that they're pretty good with garlic butter, though.
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. You would try it, too, wouldn't you? You'd eat a shingle with garlic butter on it, though.
With garlic butter?
Yeah.
Put a little bacon on there? It doesn't matter.
I ran into a recipe for mallard breast, and I don't understand some of the ingredients because I'm basic. You know, salt and pepper is me. And something about honey cubes or something. I didn't understand, but I doubt if I can get it up at St. Joe. But you fillet it open, like butterfly the breast open, and put this inside and garlic butter and stuff, and put it in the oven, and, you know, unbelievable. Everybody says the same thing when I cook duck. I can't stand the liver taste, and everybody that I talk to tend to overcook it.
Oh, yeah, any kind of game, you know, people make that mistake. You really should not overcook anything, whether it's deer or any kind of wild game.
Yeah. Speaking of deer, I gave you a copy of the regulations.
God,
did you peruse through this? Have you got it understood and everything okay?
That's ridiculous.
I have
seriously ridiculous.
Isn't this silly?
At 67 pages?
No, 79
pages.
79
it's a magazine, 79 pages. What the heck?
I mean, it's just bizarre.
Does it really have to be that complicated?
No. You know. And I'm not mad about it. I guess I'm upset about it. But, I mean, there's just so many rules and regulations. You know who's the brunt of this is the agent in the field. He has to enforce. He has no option. Everybody gets mad at the game warden. No, he has no option. His boss says to go do this.
You know? I wouldn't want to be having to learn all those regulations to enforce it. I wouldn't want to be an agent and have to learn all that. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I assume they go to all kinds of schools on this thing. Now, you know, it's just absolutely bizarre. It's just page after page after page after page of rules and regulations and these check marks and these boxes and, you know, these areas that you cannot you can only bow hunt in, or you can only use black powder, and then you'll have to be knowing and conversant with the, you know, all these little hidden areas. You know, you got the small areas all over the place. Some of them you're allowed to do something in, and some of them you're not, and some of them you're allowed muzzleloader, cap and ball, and some of them you can use this and that. And I just it doesn't have to be this way.
No, it's just ridiculous.
I remember when we used to walk in the hardware store a couple of days before deer season, you'd say, give me a knife, a deer tag, and a box of bullets. And then we'd go hunting.
Yeah, as long as you got your tag and your license.
Yeah, and now, you know, of course, mandatory orange, which is, I don't have a problem with that anymore.
No.
It did for a while, but now I understand it, because there's buffoons, morons, and idiots that might shoot at you, you know, and, but it's just, I don't know, and I want everybody to go get a copy of this. If you, wherever you get your hunting license, these are available, or your deer permit, and start reading this thing, because it's going to take you a couple days to understand it. And it's just too involved, too bizarre, too micromanaged.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the deal, you know.
It's not the most entertaining read.
Yeah, and it's just, and the more you read it, the worse. I think, you know, the worst ones I've ever saw is Montana.
You've talked about that.
Henceforth
before.
East 4,631 feet to a northerly point of the big rock, then henceforth west. And you go, come on.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they've got so many little deals. I don't understand it. You know, I just don't understand how they could do this like this.
Yeah.
I think we ought to try. I'll make 1-2 phone calls and see if we can't get the deer biologist or someone to talk to us about this. I can't say enough. I don't know. For once in my life, I'm a loss of words.
I mean, what is the motivation for this? Is it to discourage people from hunting, or is it to trap people into getting expensive tickets?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question to ask whoever's in charge here.
Because it could be a lot simpler.
Yeah, I think you do. And I forgot how many zones they've got. Decided before, you know, and talk to the guy that's the regional director in that zone and say, how's your deer herd? Oh, it's good. Okay, then we'll allow a buck and a doe. Or, you know, I know in Wisconsin now, I think it's Wisconsin, maybe it's Michigan, but anyway, one of those states, you got to shoot a doe first. And when you go to the check-in station, then they give you your buck tag.
Hmm.
Not a deal. But, you know, it's just, there's no reason. There's no rhyme, no reason for this.
So Fred, what would be the point of having you shoot a doe before the buck?
They want to get the numbers down across the board. There's too many. The buck-to-doe ratio is out of balance.
Okay.
So they want to, adios to the deal, they want to get it back even. That would probably be the deal. In a perfect world, it'd be a 50-50 ratio, you know. But I can remember years ago hunting deer, and this was when Brown was down, didn't have antler restriction like we do now, you know, hunting for 3 or 4 days and see 10, 15 does, never see a buck. Hmm. And then they went to antler restriction, which the jury's still out in my mind about that. I think it's a little bit better. But it's just, look at that map right there. You know, I wish this was TV for a change. But if you get these regulations, go to page 21. And I mean, talk about being confused. And you just, I don't know. I don't understand why it's got to be like this. I really, really don't understand. I can understand having regulations about chronic wasting disease. They do cover that pretty good in this thing. And if you've got a question about chronic wasting disease, and if you're going to give your meat to a loved one, yeah, you know, you want to know if that deer is healthy or not. And if chronic wasting disease bothers you, then, you know, that's it. You know, don't hunt that county or whatever. But I don't understand it. I've looked at this and looked at this and looked at this, and I started reading and reading, and the more I read, the bigger it got. It's kind of like chewing on a piece of bear meat. You know, the more you chew, the bigger it got. You know, it just, I don't understand it. I mean, how did we let? I guess it's my fault. I guess it's your fault. I guess it's everybody's fault. You know, everyone's gonna put your foot down.
Yeah.
And call down there and say, hey, this is not right.
Yeah, shouldn't have to have an attorney to go over the regulations.
You know, it's just absolutely bizarre on the deal. And I don't know. You know, I think someone, if they would do it, I doubt if they would do it, but it would get the director. I bet you, I don't know this. I don't know who the director is right now. I bet you if I ask him about the regulations on page 31 or whatever, he would go, huh?
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's just absolutely bizarre. Mm-hmm. And it's become, you know, they're very wealthy, and they've got a lot of people work for them, which is great. Adios, you know. But they got some people with their feet up under a desk. They're setting regulations for Buchanan County or Andrew County or Worth County that have never been to the county. It wouldn't pick up the phone and call a regional agent up there and say, hey, what's going on?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think we've lost it.
Well, I can't argue looking at that book of regulations.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you just can't believe what you're seeing.
It's a joke.
It is an absolute joke. And again, I go back to the agents. I've got some friends that are agents. I feel sorry for them.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no way. But they're the ones going to take the brunt.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, out there. You know, well, you were on the wrong side of the blacktop when you shot this doe. Okay. You know.
It's clearly in that 79-page booklet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere in there. But it's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how we got this way.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's everybody's fault. You ought to send them a hateful email or not a nice email and say, hey, this is overregulated.
Right.
It's just crazy. You know, but what isn't overregulated? Well, you ever go to the License Bureau anymore?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Man, that's a journey.
True.
You know, it's just a bureaucratic nightmare journey on a deal. It doesn't have to be this way. You know, I think you should be able, when you buy a new truck or car at a dealership, I think they should have an office, some paperwork there, and say, hey, here, fill this out, and you get a license plate in 3 days or 10 days or whatever it is. But I guess that'd be too complicated, too.
Yeah, that's too simple.
Yeah.
Well, and Fred, if I may interject, you know, I think one of the big arguments that I hear is like, well, I mean, if everybody, you know, went about it these ways, then we just wouldn't have animals anymore. We wouldn't be able to. And I say, yeah, if we lived in a world where everybody did something, that would be the case. But you know what? We don't. In fact, you've made it so rough, you're losing hunters by the year.
Exactly. I think a lot of people. I had a guy when we went to Steel Shot and he had the migratory card and the federal duck stamp, and he was a duckaholic worse than me. Quit. Never picked up a gun. I didn't think I'd ever see him quit. Hmm. He just waited to the minute to go duck hunting. And when that happened, he said, screw this, I'm out of here.
Well,
and he never, until the day he died, never picked up a gun. And he was in his 60s and he lived till 75. Yeah, so 15 years he did not participate in the sport that he loved.
And he's not the only one.
And he said to me one day, he said, well, I'm so afraid I'm going to get a ticket. I don't know what's right. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know, am I okay? And we went to that teal, you know, was 10 points, and a mallard hen was 90. And,
yeah, right.
And then they would have a 30-day season one year and a 60-day season the next. And then they went to a 45 that started at noon one day. And you went, my goodness, people, please have some common sense. Get some old dirtbag like me and have me set in on this. Get about four or five of the good old boys.
Yep.
And set in on this thing, and they wouldn't do that. You know, I guarantee you they wouldn't do that. Their ego would get hurt. Run the deal, but this doesn't have to be like this. You know, the Conservation Federation of Missouri needs to raise their voice. Somebody needs to.
Yeah, well,
you know,
It starts here.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, I guarantee next year it'll be the same.
Yeah.
It'll never change.
Yeah.
It'll never, ever,
ever
change.
Don't get the opinion they care what we think.
Yeah, what the hey. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm sorry I had to vent there for a little bit. I feel better.
Well, you look better.
Yeah, I feel a color coming back in my face. we are brought to you by King City Lumber Company, King City, Missouri, my bestest friends, Marty and Monty Tunks. I tell you what, they've got a business that takes a backseat to nobody. If you need an outbuilding, regardless of a garage or a hay barn or a loafing shed or whatever you're looking for, these are the people. They're master carpenters. They will not leave the job site until you are 110% correct on the deal. I've never been around any nicer people and best family that you can do business with. King City Lumber. Go to their webpage, kingcitylumber.com. You'll spend a lot of time there. I tell you what, listen to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm basking in the aura of my co-host, Mark Seher Tobin, the greatest fisherman to ever walk on the water. His white majestic robe, his staff in hand, his Ten Commandments of fishing rules and regulations. I suppose now you're going to have 30 to 40 commandments of fishing regulations.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. After this. Hey, we are brought to you by SAR USA. If you've not seen the you guys need to see this. Go to the website. I'm talking both you guys. Listen up to me. SAR 6. Go to SAR, S-A-R, USA 6. That is the coolest pistol I have ever seen in my life. It's a little bit smaller gun. You can get it in a big frame, too, with a 6. But you will not believe the quality and the workmanship of that pistol. So if you got a dealer around the United States or whoever you feel comfortable with, if he doesn't have one, he can order you one, but they are in short demand. SARS has really come on like gangbusters. They have nothing but upbeat things written about them. Unbelievable. Been building pistols now since 1898 or something, and unbelievable. SAR, S-A-R, USA. Go to their website. Look at that SARS 9 or 6.
I'm looking at the 9.
9's cool.
I want that.
I got one.
Really?
But the 6, I got to have one. And it comes in different colors, too. You know, I think I could.
I got to have that.
Oh, I'm trying to get you guys some. I really, really am. There isn't hardly a day goes by I don't work on that a little bit for you. I'm trying to get some pistol, but boy, you know, and here they're my sponsor, and I can't get them. The guy that runs the company can't hardly get them. I mean, my goodness, as soon as they hit the floor, they're already sold on the deal. Some things that are coming up that you should be aware of, we're going to have John Debney on with Delta Waterfowl. We're going to talk about the waterfowl count. So if you've got anybody in your family that's a waterfowl hunter, get them up. If they're not up, and tell them to listen to the show. The Squaw Creek chapter, I just love saying that.
Squaw Creek.
Boy, that aggravates them, too.
Name should have never been changed.
It never should have. Squaw Creek chapter up in St. Joseph is going to have their annual banquet August the 29th and at the Knights of Columbus. If you guys have not been up to St. Joseph, coming out of Kansas City, get off on Frederick Avenue. They named that street after me. Go east, take a right there, and go out there about a half, three-quarters of a mile and right across from the Swans, we call it the Meyerhofer Funeral Home, and go down the street, and it's at Knights of Columbus. Great facilities. You know, that last year was so successful. They gave away guns, auctioned off guns, raffled guns. It was so late in the night they didn't get all of them done.
Oh, my gosh.
To give guns away. So this year is going to be bigger and better. And unbelievable.
When is it again?
It is August the 29th.
So just right around the corner.
You're right around the corner, and it's the Knights of Columbus. And if you need additional information, Garrett, my buddy Garrett that runs Delta, this regional guy, is 252-814-6656. I hate giving out phone numbers on the air.
Yeah.
Because you're driving, you can't. But anyways, 252-814-6656. Already sold a lot of tables. Things are really looking good. You can't believe some of the stuff they're going to auction. This is different. This has got a different atmosphere about it. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just a different atmosphere. It's really outdoor enthusiasts that show up at these things. And if nothing else, the stories are worth something.
Yeah, right.
The deal. But if you want a ticket to it, you better get going. You can go to the Squaw, go down to Waterfowl, scroll down to Squaw Creek chapter, and click on there, and it'll give you the information on how to get tickets. They're probably going to get sold out. This way, click it.
If you are driving and you missed something on the show, you can always go to our podcast, which go to our Facebook page. It's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. Go to podcast and then alternative programs. And then you can scroll down and find any of our shows. All the shows that we have done are archived there. So you can go back and listen and pick up something that you may have missed. Or if you just have missed a show and you want to hear an old rerun,
yeah,
that's how you can do it.
Also, for your information, Mark, I know you're quite a golf enthusiast. Golf tournament will be September the 19th. Used to be they would have the Delta Banquet here in Kansas City, and it was huge. But the COVID, they can't. Do that on the deal. St. Joe's going to have it. They don't care. Good. I'm done with it, too.
I'm tired of it. Yeah.
So the golf tournament for the Delta chapter here in Kansas City is going to be out of Harrisonville, and that will be September the 19th, 816 area code 769-2289. That's 816 area code 769-2289. I want you to participate with these guys. Delta is a great organization.
Yes, they are.
They raise baby ducks. And that's what it's all about.
That's what we all want.
Deal, so what the hey? Any fishing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
From what I hear, it's time to get out to Milford.
Don't say that.
It has let loose. Lots of white bass, lots of hybrids. There's some surface activity going on.
Can we go Tuesday?
Yeah, let's go.
You want to?
It's
Chris wants to go. I want to go. Chris never, I don't think, ever fished Milford with us, my boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's probably right. It's been a long time since you and I fished out there.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since I fished out there. But
yeah,
Vic Gertley, look up Fish Tech on the internet. He sells some of the best baits, and he's got a spoon that I just love. It's the WW rear weighted spoon. It's got a silvery reflective tape on one side. It's just a deadly spoon.
It's double bad, double bad.
Yeah, right. Double W spoon. But, he's got all kinds of good bass baits and whatnot.
Well,
but anyway, he's
they're full on them? Yeah. Is it going?
Yep. Yeah, from what he said, yeah, it's just as good as it's been in a while. And it's just been the last week and a half that it's really let loose. It's been good, but it's just it's really let loose. So that's one of my
quality
go-to.
Any quality? Any
he big? Didn't say anything about that, but you can rest assured that, but the white, I'm just glad to hear the white bass have come. Cause, there for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
The white bass took it on the chin. But it sounds like they've made a good recovery. So things always cycle. Populations always cycle around and up and down. But it's definitely on an upside right now at Milford. Clinton, still catching white bass and hybrids out there. On the Missouri side, let me go back and also say, doesn't matter which one of the Kansas lakes. From what I'm hearing, it's better early and late. Now, that's going to start changing a little bit. It seems like the water is cooling down some. I'm hearing a lot of reports of mid to upper 70-degree water instead of in the mid to upper 80s. And so as that water cools down, the fish are going to get more active through the day. But, we're still in August, and so with that hot weather, seems like early and late has definitely been better. Minnows, if you're fishing for crappie, definitely better than without. Truman now, we had a lot of rain that came down into Truman last week, and the lake came up a little over 4 feet. If you're going down to Truman, avoid the Grand Arm because that's where that
muddy.
Took the brunt. Yeah, that took the brunt of that water coming in. And, it got muddy, and it scattered those fish a little bit. And it's, that muddy water has just made fishing just a little tough. It'll turn around pretty quick. But look for the clearer arm. So, the Tebow, Pommy, even the Osage. The Osage is way better right now than the Grand Arm.
Know what I'm going to ask you next, don't you? Walleye.
Yeah, there is. This has been a pretty good, this past week from what I'm hearing, has been pretty good on walleye.
They should be on the flats?
Yep, that's exactly right. And it depends on what, Stockton, they're catching them a little deeper on Stockton, anywhere from 18 to 24, 25 feet deep, bouncing night crawlers off the bottom. But you can also catch some trolling. Flicker shad is just a bait that I really like, and that's a very popular bait to troll for walleye as we get into the summer and into the fall. Flicker shad, trolling those. Truman, I'm hearing they're catching some out there at KK Island and some of those points and flats. They're a little shallower. I mean, I'm hearing like anywhere from 12 to 14 feet deep, 15 feet deep. But yeah, this has been a good week. For some reason, the walleye have really seemed to turn on this past week.
Hmm.
So, you know, some mixed reports.
And you're mowing grass instead of fishing.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, that rain we had 2 weeks ago got me way behind. So still trying to get caught up.
You got your priorities wrong.
Yeah, but I'll be caught up, and then
away you go.
Yeah.
It'd be just a minute, but cloud of dust going down the highway,
you got that
and fishing
right,
rods flying all over the place. Oh well, man.
Yeah. So.
Mark, you got to get away. You got to go fishing more.
I know. Yeah.
Just, I talked to our buddy
research
Brent,
for the show, if nothing else.
Brent, yeah, and you write it off. Brent Frazee says to come out there and fish with him.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
We got light. He wants to come like 9 o'clock, fish till midnight. Well, who's going to drive home after that fiasco?
Well, that's true.
You know what that takes. But yeah. Anyway, he's on crappie.
Really?
Yeah.
And Wrist Lake, do you know?
His home lake. But, you know, I said, I think I can talk Mark into this.
I would do that with Brent. Oh, yeah. And Greg Thompson, our Facebook coordinator, he's been trying to get us to go out with Brent in the morning and do the show from his pontoon boat.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? We got to take a little break. I'm pumped up. We got John Debney is going to be our guest. Can you give that number to our illustrious producer?
You know
producer?
What we didn't do? We didn't do the bird of the week, but maybe we should do a replay of last week's and play
a replay. I got one booted up over here.
Oh,
is that right?
Booted up on
that.
Well, let's do it when Debney gets on here with us. We'll see if we can stump the chump on that one.
I'd like him to hear the one we did last week.
We'll do both.
We'll do both. Maybe we can do both.
I've had more comments about that one.
Did you?
That eider duck.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And he said something kind of naughty on the edge about that naughty duck, that duck, you know, that king eider.
Well, it sounded like his girlfriend when he was getting ready
to say it. I said no such thing. Right. You guys are making up stories over
go
there.
Go to the podcast. Brought to you by LuckySnipe.com. Ladies and gentlemen, go to their webpage. You aren't going to believe it. You like saving money, and you're an outdoor enthusiast. LuckySnipe.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors, and by the magic of the phone, we have
one of our favorite people.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? He's a good guy.
Absolutely.
Except for the people that know him real close. But he's just a really nice guy. That's John Debney. He's the senior vice president of Delta Waterfowl, not to be confused with the junior or the sophomore or the freshman vice president. This is the senior vice president. John, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great. We got a little challenge for you to start you up early in the morning. You ready for
great.
This? You ready? Get your brain in gear.
Okay, we'll just do our best.
We do a little segment each week. It's the bird of the week, so take it away.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. Bird's a winner. Well, a bird. Bird is a winner. Well, a bird. Well, a bird is a winner. Well, a bird.
What is this bird? Now, go ahead and play this. You ain't got it. You got it? All right. Here we go. Maybe. New system here, John. It's a pelican. No.
What in the world?
It's a rail.
A rail? Is it some kind of sore rail? No. What is it? You're not going to tell us.
So that one was called... and I know that you're going to get on me because it's not necessarily a hunting bird. Uh-huh. But that one was called the gray go-away bird, otherwise known as the gray lory.
You
want to hear it again? You want to hear it again?
Yeah, I think John Debney should have got
that
one.
You can hear it. Go away. Go away.
Play that last week's one on.
How do you...
Have you got it?
I was trying to spell it. I don't know. I didn't graduate school, so I didn't know how to spell.
Did you get to last week's
there you
bird?
Go. That's what it was.
This is a weird bird too.
Yeah, this one sounded like what I thought it was his girlfriend when he was getting ready for bed.
I understand.
I thought that was her.
Maybe not. I begin to wonder about our new producer here. He's brand new here. He's only been here about an hour. You know, he's trying. New system.
I'm pulling it up. Hold on.
All right.
Guys do what you do best in radio and kill time.
Kill time? We've always killed time. All right, here we go. John, you got it? No? Uh-oh.
Not yet.
John might get this one.
I doubt it, but he might. I don't think there's any in North Dakota. That
okay, I can't spell, man. How do you spell it?
Well, if I spell it, then John's going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I'll come in there. You talk to John.
You come in there. I'll visit with John. John, first thing we need to do, John Devney is the senior vice president for Delta Waterfowl, and there's a lot of new listeners, they tell me, and I guess step A, what is Delta Waterfowl, and how long you guys been around?
Been around a long time, Fred, all the way back to 1911. So Delta is an organization that's been around a long time. And as you and I have talked about in the past, Fred, Delta's historically been known for our waterfowl research and making sure we understand ducks and geese. You know, you think about when Delta got started and think about what was happening in periods like the 30s when duck populations crashed. There's always been a real need to understand ducks and geese in their habitat, and that's historically what Delta did. And today we're certainly a different organization than we were, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 70s, or even the 80s, because we've sort of, you know, arranged our programming to work for duck hunters now. And I think we understood in the late 1990s that just doing research wasn't going to serve duck hunters very well. So we've got a broader base suite of programs today and a sort of a bigger mission. And I think it's needed, you know, in 2020 and for what duck hunters need.
Yeah. Difference between you and Ducks Unlimited?
You know, I think generally at the top level, we've got the same goals, certainly. You know, DU's been focused on habitat for a long time, do a really good job at that. You know, at Delta, I think probably because DU is good at habitat, and the Fish and Wildlife Service does great habitat work. You know, we're doing habitat work too. We do it a little bit differently than they do. But we're really focused on things like outcomes like duck production. And, you know, hen houses and predator management would be a pretty key differentiator between us and DU.
Now, we're going to come here with the bird of the week, and I'm going to see if you can guess it, John. You might know this one. I don't know. And then I want to talk to you about everybody's listening about the duck numbers. I understand they couldn't fly this year, so we'll talk about that. But here we go. Let's play the bird of the week here. This is a huntable bird, too, John. Now, you got any idea about this bird?
No, I'm a little frightened, though.
It would be found in Alaska.
Very northern part of Alaska.
I don't know, but you guys got to turn it off. It's scaring me.
That is a king eider. Can you believe that?
I'll be darned.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
I still think it's our producer Blake's girlfriend.
Yeah, well, it could be. I don't know. Yeah. You know,
she sounded that pretty.
Yeah, right.
You know, she's gonna wake up one day and listen to this show. Yeah, and she's gonna come in here raising hell.
Yeah, she'd shoot at us going across the parking lot. John, everybody's wanting to know. Everybody's been calling me for about 3 weeks now. They got the enthusiasm. We had a little cold air come around. Everybody wants to go duck hunting here with the teal season coming up September the 12th here in Missouri, our special teal season. Have you got numbers? What's happened with the waterfowl? Is it a good count, bad count in between? Where you got to tell us?
Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting spring, Fred. And as you mentioned, this is the first year since 1955 the feds did not do that survey.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And so, and the only people that did a survey anywhere in North America of breeding ducks this year was North Dakota. So we don't have sort of the comprehensive view of where ducks are and what habitat look like and how ducks change year over year. But what we know generally is that South Dakota and North Dakota were very wet this spring. We know Manitoba was sort of so-so, sort of average. We know Saskatchewan was really, really, really dry.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Alberta was sort of a mixed bag. And, you know, if you look back over time, we know that those wetland conditions in those key parts of the prairies really drive where ducks settle and really drive what kind of production they have. So, I mean, just looking at it, you know, again, nobody's going to know the real answer because we didn't fly the survey. But, you know, I think it's one of those years where ducks probably jammed into the Dakotas
mm-hmm.
at pretty high levels. That's what the North Dakota survey showed us. And I would assume, I think South Dakota was actually a little bit wetter than we were. So I would expect they were full of breeding ducks, too. And we should expect to have pretty good production out of North Dakota and South Dakota.
Mallard population should be up. I mean, would there be a percentage we can count on that?
I don't know. I mean, the North Dakota numbers, mallards were unchanged from a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, they were up. They were down 1,000. So, I mean, you know, pretty good numbers. You know, gadwall were up a little bit in North Dakota. Widgeon, which aren't, you know, widgeon and green-winged teal aren't ducks that breed here with any, not big numbers of breeders here. They typically breed further north. Blue-winged teal, Fred, were up big time.
That's what I hear.
Cool.
Big time. And if they were up here, I got to imagine they were crazy high in South Dakota, too. Pintail numbers were about unchanged. The diving ducks, redheads went down a little bit, but I wouldn't be too terrible worried about that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, overall, again, we only have numbers from North Dakota. The duck numbers were really pretty darn good.
Huh. How come South Dakota doesn't participate in this?
Well, I mean, you know, I think North Dakota, it's interesting. The North Dakota survey actually predates the federal survey. It goes all the way back to 1946.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so I think a lot of folks would say, you know, if you're South Dakota and the feds were already doing your survey, you probably didn't have, you know, the interest or to, you know, spend your time, people, and money on it when the feds are doing a pretty darn good job at doing the survey anyways. I think North Dakota, just because they have this incredible long-term data set, they're very proud of it. And they, you know, I think they want to make sure it keeps going on. And what we know is the numbers between the state survey and the federal survey, while they're not the same absolute values, they correlate with each other really nicely.
Now, John, my understanding, it's going to be almost impossible to kneel to hunt in Canada this year for waterfowlers. Is that what you're hearing, or is that rumor, or what's going on?
Well, we don't know yet. So the U.S. and Canadian government have been going back and forth in extending the border closure at 30-day increments. So
mm-hmm.
we're waiting for the next 30-day increment. So, you know, generally non-residents can start hunting in, you know, places like Saskatchewan on September 1st. A little later than that, Manitoba, it's more the end of September. But this decision point that both governments will make here in a couple weeks will tell us what it looks like for the early season, and then we'll have to wait, I think, 30 days for the next decision. But I think it's looking pretty unlikely at this point that the border is going to be open.
Do you feel that the government of Canada doesn't like hunters?
I don't know if I would be quite that. I mean, in the context of where we are today, Fred,
uh-huh.
No, they don't want little typhoid Mary showing up at their kid's birthday party is what this is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this doesn't have a damn thing to do with hunting. This has everything to do with the sort of U.S. again going through a pulse of cases and Canada continuing to have very, very, very low case numbers. And the Canadian public just doesn't want to take the risk.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that, too. I got some verbiage from some fellow hunters that thought that they just really don't like us coming up. I know they put a restriction, if you have a screw-in choke in your barrel, that would be an illegal gun, basically, coming into Canada with. I thought it was kind of bizarre. And,
yeah, that was – the Canadian government has done some – look, don't get me wrong. The Canadian government's done lots of stupid stuff when it comes to firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the screw-and-choke thing is a bit of a urban myth. But, yeah, they just prohibited a whole pile of firearms here this spring. And it was really patently stupid. But, I mean, believe me, the issue of Americans crossing the border – is got way more to do with, you know, there's probably 1,000 times more Americans crossing the border for other purposes than to go duck hunting up there.
Yeah, I think so. I know I've read some stuff in regards to moose hunting up in Canada. It's big business, and they pretty well canceled that for the year, it seems like, on the deal, so... I don't know. You know, I think this is much to do about nothing. I've got friends that have had COVID and didn't know they had it. You know, and I could go both ways on this thing a little bit, but I don't know. I think it's been overblown quite a little bit in my judgment, but that's just me personally. So get the hay on the deal. Bluebills. Something I love to talk about, it concerns me, and I think it probably concerns Delta. What in the world is going on with that species?
Well, there's only one good answer, Fred, and it's something has changed in the core of their breeding area, which is kind of in the, you know, prairies and parklands of Prairie Canada and the Western Boreal Forest. It's interesting, I've got the numbers up here, the North Dakota numbers up here, and what you see in looking at the North Dakota numbers, the exact opposite of what you see in most parts of the breeding range for scop. Our scop populations have been increasing since the mid-1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a fairly meaningful number of scop here now relative to what we had, you know, 30 years ago. And you and I know what that was, right, Fred?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did the scop start increasing in the mid-1980s?
Habitat, wasn't it?
CRP.
Yeah, CRP, habitat, yeah.
CRP, and we got wet, right?
Yeah.
And so the Dakotas, the eastern Dakotas, is the only place in the Bluebill Range where their populations are increasing.
Well, you know, duck populations, baby ducks have a lot to overcome. Weather is something that we can't control, but the other thing that they have to overcome is predation, predators. And what are you guys doing to try to help in that regard?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, well, most baby ducks, statistically speaking, never get a chance to deal with predators because they're eating in the nest.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, if you look at big areas of the prairies, it's not uncommon to have 90% of the nests destroyed.
Ah, that's horrible.
And then if they hatch, it's not, you know, shocking to have 50% of the ducklings eaten.
Wow.
So it's pretty consequential, right? Like, that's pretty tough numbers. Now, that isn't the case everywhere, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. And that's why Delta started looking at predator management in the early 1990s, saying, you know, can we do anything about this?
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, it's a big landscape, right? And, you know, if you're just killing a raccoon or two, you're kind of taking a spoonful out of the ocean, right?
Right.
And so, you know, we looked at an approach that's very methodical, quite large scale, And, you know, we've been working on that since the 90s, and it absolutely does work. Now, we're not going to trap every square inch of the prairies. That'd be pretty foolish. But, you know, when you do it in a targeted way in high-priority landscapes, you can produce one hell of a lot of ducks very cost-effectively.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go back to, I'm just reading online about fur prices. A lot of these fur buyers have gone belly up, filed bankruptcy, yep. out of business. I don't know where that fur market's headed. It was been shamed by for women to wear a fur animal. You know, the liberals got a hold of that thing and went nuts with it. And that's the truth. I guess you shouldn't tell the truth, but... you know, that's just what happened on the deal. And until these fur prices come back and Russia starts buying again or whoever, you know, these raccoons have basically no predation to them, you know, no checks and balance on them. And, boy, they predate those hen house or those nests. Don't get in the hen house, but get in the hen's nest. And, man, they consume a lot of eggs. And thank God a hen will try again and again, won't you?
She will, but in, you know, another thing, Fred, is there were no raccoons in the prairies.
Yes.
You know, Prairie Canada didn't have raccoons until the mid 1950s.
Amazing, absolutely amazing, John. My sources have been telling me things about you, and up until a while back, but you were hanging out an awful lot in Washington D.C.
Yep.
Did they suck half your brain out, or did somebody abuse you while you were there?
Well, as long as you don't have a zip code, you know, as long as you don't have an address there, I think you're okay.
Okay.
You just kind of go in and out for a few days, and, you know, and you'll be okay.
What do you do there, John? Are you a lobbyist? Would that be a word we could use with you?
Well, I'm not a lobbyist by the... you know, purest notion. But, you know, we're there talking to legislators or folks in the administration, whether that's Fish and Wildlife Service or Department of Interior, about the things that are important to us at the duck hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's big deal this week on the president signing the Great American Outdoor Act. And you know, that was a big piece of legislation. Interesting part of the Great American Outdoors Act is there's legislation in there that was based on a bill called the Restore Our Parks Act, in which was a great piece of legislation and highly heralded by the president to fix up infrastructure or national parks because they're such an incredible treasure. But in the Senate, that bill had no provision for the Fish and Wildlife Service in it. And one of the things we worked on was to make sure that the Fish and Wildlife Service got resources if that legislation passed. Well, when the president signed it, there'll be $100 million a year to fix up refuges within the Fish and Wildlife Service refuge program. And that's, you know, that's stuff like you and I have talked about, Fred, that's pumps and levees and all the rest of that stuff that's needed to manage good duck habitat and needed to make sure duck hunters have good hunting experience while they're on a refuge.
What do you, you know, I mean, I suppose you talk to congressmen from New York or East Coast or the big cities. Do you find them, do they lend your ear to you? I mean, do they want, are they against this kind of, you know, your organization or anything of that nature?
No, I've never seen it. Now, listen, you talk to somebody from New Jersey, different than you do from Louisiana,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Your sales pitch gets moderated a little bit, right? But I think those folks and their staff are pretty accustomed to listening to the public. Some, probably even the public, they're not crazy about listening to. So
yeah.
I've never had a conversation with staff or a member where they've said, you know, you need to get the hell out of my office.
it's common.
And I've had a fair amount of conversations with people in my office at end of life. So they're better than I am.
John, we're out of radio time. We got about 3 minutes or less, and I got to get a commercial in on this thing. But how can people get involved with Delta Waterfowl?
you know, check out our website, deltawaterfall.org, and then we're on all the big social media channels. We've been working hard to be using all that stuff with the pandemic to tell people what we do. So get out there and enjoy it.
We're still going to have our Squaw Creek chapter August the 29th here in St. Joseph, Missouri. I imagine a lot of your chapters threw in a towel, and I don't blame them if they're scared of COVID, but so I'm glad that the guys up at St. Joe are really going to work hard on putting that one together. So looking forward.
Yeah, appreciate them.
Yeah, I wish you would come down to one, but I know you go banquet out, so no big deal. But
One of these days I'll come down.
Well, you're just
schedule
a wonderful human. Yeah,
schedule
come down.
It during teal season. That'll be making it more compelling.
That'll be good.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be fine. You know, no problem at all.
What a great organization, Delta Water.
Oh, Delta, there's nobody better.
They create so many
people. The reason I got involved, and I'll tell it right in front of John, this is probably post-John being at Delta, I wanted to see their books. I want to see how you spend my money. What my money? How do I spend it? And Lloyd Jones was there at that time. He said, sure. What do you need to know? And I went, wow. Yeah, that was a breath of
that
fresh air.
Right?
And I went, wow. You know, I just couldn't believe it. They said, yeah, anytime, come to our office, come do whatever you need. I'll send you whatever you need. Here's how we spend it. And I went, cool. That's a good organization. John, thank you for getting out of bed with us.
You bet. Thank you, fellas.
Good to talk to you.
Isn't he a wonderful human?
The best.
He's
absolutely
the best.
Yeah.
I never been around in North.
Check out if you don't know Delta Waterfowl, got to check them out. They do so much good.
Did you ever see he didn't say A?
No, that's true.
North Dakota people always say, how you doing, A? Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. The lot is empty. At Reed Chevrolet, there's not one vehicle on the lot.
What?
Yep, they're paving it today.
Oh.
But they're around back. Go up there. These are the nicest people you ever do business with. They're finally getting some inventory. Ah, goodness, you got a pretty gray Silverado truck criteria. If Blake would loan me some money, I'd buy it.
Boy, if only you paid me more.
Yeah.
Or at all.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Pay me more. Got to get paid the first time. Well, I'll tell you what, that wraps it up. You like his song, Mark, or not? You hate it, too?
No. Yeah, we need our old music back.
You hate it, too, huh?
You never could find it, could you, Blake?
Nah, I'll keep looking for it, but it might have just got lost in the transfer, so.
Yeah, I didn't like that song either. You know. I did that to aggravate you, and it worked.
Yeah.
It aggravated your mother, too, didn't it?
Yeah, she didn't like that. And my wife.
She didn't like it either.
The Japanese song, no.
I don't blame them.
This was right up. Right up there with it.
Yeah.
They got a quarrel with Japan.
We all do.
Yeah.
Tell you what, that wraps up. Oh, my. I don't know how I get into this. That wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week.
But I'll be